Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Kate from the Instagram account, The Salty Bookworm. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a Jersey girl through and through. Currently, I'm about to do a big move from North Jersey to South Jersey. I currently teach seventh grade special education. And so I've always been an English teacher, a reading teacher. That's always been my world. But I'm about to transition to kindergarten in South Jersey. So my grandmother was a kindergarten teacher for almost 40 years. So reading has kind of always been in my blood and in my soul.
Gosh, that's amazing. My college roommate was a kindergarten teacher, and I love her. Like, she was like, it's so great to work with the little kids and, you know, get to play, get to nap, get to teach them, like, life skills that are just, like, early on, you know, little things that you never think will be important, but that will be important at that early stage. So that's really exciting.
And inspire that love of reading is what I'm hoping to do.
Yeah. So you'll be reading a lot of children's books, hopefully in the next 3 years. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm very excited to get back to that world.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. So you started Garden State Bookstrap. When is hard to get that started?
So I am very, very proud of Garden State Book Swap. My book bestie and fellow Jersey girl, Nikki Ojakian, she is the Saturday Night Reader. She and I wanted a way to kind of reach more of our New Jersey readers. We were starting to meet a lot of people through different book swaps, book events, publishing houses, hosting things. And we said, we have to capitalize on this for the Jersey Shore and North Jersey area, kind of bringing everybody together. So it started with a small scale book swap in New Jersey where we invited various bookstagrammers and kind of threw it out there on Instagram to local readers alike. But we felt like we still wanted more. So from there, we launched the Instagram page, Garden State Book Swap, and we kind of think of ourselves as book fairy godmothers, if you will. So we designed stickers and bookmarks ourselves. We hid them on books and hid those books all around New Jersey. And so we sell them, you know, for a very small fee, if you will. And we kind of kick the money back towards buying more books and putting more books out there to hide around New Jersey. So it's kind of grown a little on its own. So we share these stickers and bookmarks with as many local readers as we can to get them to join in on the fun. We ask them to tag us in their book hiding, and it just keeps that literacy conversation going and book sharing going all throughout the Garden State. And we always say, if you're going to host a book swap or host some sort of book event, tag us and help us promote, you know, a love of reading. Mm-hmm. So it's been really, really cool.
I love it. It's actually really cool to see where the book gets hidden, because you guys hit it in different places like Starbucks and BJ's and all
these
places that you wouldn't imagine to find free book, but then you're just like, oh my gosh, it's like a book fairy, you know, happening.
Yeah, and then I love when they get passed to multiple people, and then it's like, wait, but that started all the way up in North Jersey, and now it's here, and it's really cool. It's been a lot of fun, and to do it with her has been so amazing.
And in my travel to Chicago, because I have some stickers and some bookmarks, and I'm taking them with me. So
I love that.
In my travel to another state, but that's the really magic of it. It's just like fun to just like travel around and show the book world that it's possible to share books outside of our little community.
Exactly. That's the goal.
That's awesome. So let's talk about book recommendations. Let's talk about what's your ideal book. What type of plot, character, etc. What type of story do you like?
So I absolutely love this question. I found over the past few years, especially with so many incredible first-time authors emerging, that I am starting to gravitate towards certain elements in my reading. So for me, a slow burn with characters that are multidimensional really speak to me as a reader, and you need to keep me guessing too. So a good cliffhanger is my jam, and also a good YA series is always a must. So that's kind of where my ideal wish list comes from. Those really good characters that are flawed and have something to bring to the table with an element of mystery. Just I gravitate towards those types of books.
So what would be some of the books that you would recommend within that kind of like ideal
book? Okay. So I am an equal reading opportunist. I will never say no to a book. So if you say you loved it, I'm going to give it a chance. However, I have found that some of the sci-fi, existential, multi-dimensional type books have been more difficult for me, but my go-to is literary fiction for sure. So this past year, Ask Again, Yes, and The Dutch House, and always, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird is such a classic for me. The Water Dancer by Ta-Nehisi Coates, those were ones that just spoke to my soul, and I could not buy enough copies, get enough copies in friends' hands. You know, that was kind of exactly where I needed to go and give those to as many people as I could get to read them and talk to them with.
That's awesome. So how about the other side? What kind of books are your, what are your least favorite qualities in the book that you know that you should avoid?
I think, you know, the books that try to do maybe too many genres within one book. So
yeah.
I was proud of myself this year that I did kind of step outside my comfort zone, and I did read some in that sci-fi realm, like Anyone by Charles Sewell wouldn't have been one that I would have picked up, and I loved it. But with that being said, if that sci-fi setting is not well-developed or it's too existential and all over the place, it kind of turns me off as a reader. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I think those are, I don't think those are my go-to books. I would be honest, like for me, sci-fi has to be very like, it has to grab my attention. I think I read far few between sci-fis. I would say The Luminae Files is the most sci-fi book I read.
And oh, okay.
I enjoy it, but it's just like, it's just a fun YA series in the multimedia version. So that was like a sci-fi book, but I wouldn't consider myself like diving into the genre. I don't think that's something that I would go for. You know, it has to be highly recommended. It has to be engaging. It needs to have blood. You know, there needs to be something interesting happening. And it shouldn't be dense for me in terms of sci-fi books.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like you and I are on the same page. If it's not concrete and I can't visualize it, it's not going to speak to me as a reader for sure.
Yeah. So what are your go-to genres and what are some of the favorite books within the genre?
I think for me, literary fiction is number one with the element of family drama. And again, back to that character development. So, for example, this year I had the pleasure of meeting a local New Jersey author, Julie Maloney, who wrote A Matter of Chance about a young mother whose daughter disappears and what she does to find her. So it's those books that are so realistic that you just feel like you're right there. The Editor by Stephen Rowley has a little bit of that fantastical element in that Jackie Kennedy Onassis is alive in this book and is an editor for this young budding author. So that was really cool. And historical fiction, you know, as a kid, it was one that I didn't really gravitate towards, but now that I'm older and I'm finding such a love of history and what historical fiction can do, because I'm not a huge history buff, but I feel like reading historical fiction kind of exposes the reader to historical elements that they may not have otherwise researched. So for example, Fiona Davis does a phenomenal job with this, reading The Chelsea Girls this year about the Chelsea Hotel. I would have never researched that before, but reading a historical fiction book that is done so well makes you want to learn more about our world's history. And I think that is just such a tact talent that I have such an appreciation for.
I love it.
And what about you?
I do have Chelsea Girls as an arc, and I've been meaning to dive into it, so I'm love that you mentioned it. I'm really curious about New York history and just how it plays out. So that's a book that I'm looking for. So I think for me,
my Laura.
Yeah. So in terms of me, my genres are romance, and I think that's a genre that I fell in love with reading. I started with YA, and then I like YA, I like fantasy, but I didn't realize there's something about waiting for a book for a year that just drove me nuts. I needed books so I could read them quickly. So romance became kind of like one of those places where I was like, okay, I know the genre, where it's like, it always ends with a happily ever after, or happy for now. And I knew that was like something
right.
And had finite endings. For me, that's like a big part of it. I hate books that leave like open-ended ending. Like you're like, you think you know the answer, but you don't know the answer. I'm like, no, I need to know the answer. I need the author to give me an epilogue and to tell me what's going to happen, you know?
Oh yeah. I don't have patience. I can't wait for you.
Yeah. I don't want to think about it. Like, I'm like, I want to know what these characters are going for. Like, you know, just do they fall in love? Do they do whatever it is they need to do? So I need a good ending. And I don't like when the characters get killed off, like you just don't like that. Or when
no.
vague notion that they may get killed off and you're like, but I don't want that to happen either. So
no.
And good endings are a big part of it. And plot driven dramas I actually like. So if I read literary fiction, there needs to be a plot, there needs to be something happening. If I dive into too much into character and just like what the character's thinking, what's happening, the mundane, I get bored really easily. So I need to have some plot. So
absolutely, I agree 100%.
Yeah. So
and that's why we read it. We read them to escape. We read them to do something that's different from the ordinary.
Yeah, I read because it brings me joy and it just gives me a break from the world. Like I had a tough week. Like it was just a draining week. It's been just overall, it hasn't been fun. And I paused Instagram, which is what I needed to do because Instagram has been on and off, been good and it's been bad. And so I paused it and I was like, let me just start reading. And it was just like a pleasure. Like it felt a refresher. Like I felt mm-hmm. like the past 24 hours, I was able to reset the crazy stuff. It was like an act of self-care. So I read.
I love that.
It's like, it's an act of self-care. It just allows me to just take a break from my life and just gives me a new vision, a new way of thinking. It thinks that I didn't think it would be possible. I'm like, oh, maybe that could be possible. You know, even things like decisions that I make in my day-to-day life have been informed because of the books that I read. So, you know, reading is
it's hard. True. They're almost like a form of therapy as well.
It really is. Even though I go and talk to my therapist about reading life and she thinks it's crazy, I'm like, it is important. My reading life is just as important as like my work life, as like my friendships. Like I think I consider that just as important as anything else, but it's just like that's because it just brings me so much joy.
Right. And it gets you in touch with your feelings and gets you thinking sometimes about things that are going on in your life through the perspective of what other characters are going through.
Yeah. It really does. And like, I think it's an eye-opener experience and things that are mm-hmm. possible, they happen, and things that are just, that I wouldn't even in my daily life that I'm like, oh, maybe that would be a fun thing to do. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll explore and do it. You know, the books have informed me to travel different places and have informed me to make new friendships or to escape and try new things. And that's been because of my reading life.
Absolutely. It's why we do it.
Yep. So let's get to the fun stuff. What are some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020?
Oh, this question. I'm so excited. So 2020, I am so psyched already with some of the advanced reader copies that are starting to float around. Mm-hmm. The titles of things that are coming out are just going to be so epic this spring. So The Two Lives of Lydia Bird by Josie Silver. I loved her book One Day in December when I read last year. In the rom-com world, The Honey-Do List by Christina Lauren. She is an author that prior to 2019 was not in my wheelhouse and was recommended to me through a Bookstagram friend. And now I can't get enough of their books. I'm constantly reading Christina Lauren, The Glass Motel by Emily St. John Mandel. She wrote Station 11. That's mm-hmm. the one I'm super excited about. I felt very lucky to have read the Happy Ever After playlist by Abby Jimenez. So that's coming out soon. So I can tell you now that I love it. So get ready.
It's so good.
Yeah, so it was so good.
So good.
And You Are Not Alone by Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen. They wrote, you know, The Wife Between Us and An Anonymous Girl, and, you know, can never pass up a good thriller. So many things to look forward to in 2020. But what about you? Any of those that any that are on your list for 2020?
So the Happy Ever After playlist is something that I read and I love it and I want to reread it again. I had the pleasure to talk to Abby and she's going to be in the show. And it was just like, I was starstruck. I was like, oh my gosh. She's like,
oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love her.
She's so great. She's so funny. She's so smart. It's just like so witty. And you're just like, it was a great interview. So that's actually really looking forward to it. Girl Gone Viral by Alicia Ray. She wrote The Right Swipe that came out last year. And she wrote a really great series, Hate to Love. A Hate to Love series that was like set in upstate New York. So I'm really looking forward to reading that book.
Love it.
And then just pretty much, I'm reading right now Maya Rudolph's Gilded Age series. So these are historical women set. They're feminist historical women. They're like feminist badass women working, you know, who fall in love with men who actually appreciate who they are and they go back to work and they have jobs that are like, you know, makeup industry, department store, dressmaking and all those different things. And so I'm reading An Harris Affair, I think that's what it is. So it's set in 1890s in New York City. And FYI, I don't read historical romance. I started reading historical romance last year. So it's like fairly new. But I love this idea of New York in the late 1800s where, you know, it's hustling and bustling and it's still happening, but it's like there's a unique set of like, you know, of needs and stuff. Like the suffrage movement is still happening. All those different things that we take for granted are just starting to build. And so I'm reading that book and I'm actually love it. It's like, it's based on history and like real history. And it's just like, it's so feminist. So if you're
I just wrote that down because that was not one that I had heard of. So I'm like, ooh, add it to the list.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's three books in a series. So the first book is about dressmaking. And so the innovation is that she wants to have dresses with pockets. And so she builds a business around dresses with pockets. And you didn't think about it. You're like, oh, I want, that's a nice dress. But you're like, in the 1800s, you're wearing corsets, you're wearing all these different things. And you're like, you need a pocket. So that was like a unique thing. And then the second book was about face cream and cosmetics. And people in the 1800s, women from high class didn't wear cosmetic. They thought that was like for common women, just for like, you know, the actresses were wearing cosmetics. So it was like, how do you introduce cosmetics to like right now our day-to-day life? And that was like introduction. And she based it on history. And so the third book is on department stores. So I don't know what the innovation is, but it's kind of like fun just to see like, oh, I think the innovation is adding ladies restrooms into the department store. So if you think about it, these are things that we take for granted now, but 100 years ago, 120 years ago, there were brand new inventions that were happening. So it's a good
story. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's a lot of great books in 2020 that I'm looking forward to it. It's just going to be a year of like, you know, balancing out backlist titles and then reading new releases. Yeah.
Always a balance of those.
It's always a balance, yeah. You know, looking at new authors and looking at debut authors and trying their new books and then looking at authors that you know and love and then trying their backlist titles that you haven't gotten read because you've been reading so many arcs. So it'll be a nice balance to try to do both.
100%.
Yeah. So which two books do you read this past few months that you recommend?
Okay, so I would say the books that I would recommend, we had said The Chelsea Girls by Fiona Davis. So I feel like I always say anything by her, if you have not taken a chance or yet dive into historical fiction, I would definitely start with her because she does a good balance of the historical element and also weaving such a beautiful story. Another book that I recommend, I had read this past summer, The Beekeeper of Aleppo by Christy Lefteri. That is about the Syrian refugee crisis. And it was one that I went into this summer completely blind. It definitely was not a summer read. And of all the books that I read in 2019, I found myself crying hours later after reading it because I was just so moved by the story, so moved by the writing. And so that was one that I kept saying to everyone who would listen to me that that was one that was just one of the most moving books I think I've read in the past couple of years. And also one that is a huge recommendation that I give to my friends who are either starting book clubs or are looking for a really good book club pick would be This Is How It Always Is by Lori Frankel, about her child's search for their own identity and what it means to be a supportive parent in an ever-changing world. And, you know, I don't personally have children myself, but having read that book and also being a teacher and someone who works with children every day, just such an eye-opening book about what it means to be a transgender child in this day and age, and how a family could really, really support their children as best they can. And so one of the best book club discussions that my book club had last year was with this book. So that's another one that I feel like is a really good go-to recommendation. What about you? What are ones that you recommend to friends and to people who are looking for something new?
Yeah, so I've just read Once Upon a Sunset by Tiff Marcello. It comes out March 3rd. And
it's
family drama uncovering secrets set in Alexandria, Virginia, and the Philippines. And it's amazing to travel from Alexandria, Virginia to the Philippines and uncover not just the sights and scenes of being in the Philippines, but also the family and the discovery of like who you are as a person and who your thought your identity was, and to, you know, having a newfound family and just seeing like a new set of things that were happening. So I really enjoyed that book. I actually felt that it was like as someone who's looking for own voices, like just representation, I really loved the representation here. So I read that book. And then I've been looking for more Latina romance.
Okay.
Authors, like just being more conscious about that, because I'm from Puerto Rico. And it's weird that I see, there's not a lot of it in traditional publishing. There might be some in independent publishing, but traditional publishing, there's like a handful. It's like five or six like that I found.
Right.
So I'm actually interviewing, I reached out to the publisher because I think she's Puerto Rican or Cuban or something like that. So Priscilla Oliveras has a new book called Island Affair. And the book is set in the Keys. It comes out in April. The book is set in Key West, and it's the hero's family is Cuban, and the heroine is from Arizona, but she grew up with a Mexican nanny who taught her how to speak Spanish. So there was like a lot of like community, family, the values of like being in a family and all those different things. And the heroine was a social media influencer. So it was like unto the time. So the book said is a fake relationship. So the heroine's family are traveling to Key West. And so the heroine hires the hero to be her fake boyfriend for the week to pretend so she can actually be fine with the family. And
oh, wow.
It's cute. It's like a cute, it's not steamy. So if you're looking for clean romance where there's like no sex scenes, this one falls within that. So, which as a romance reader, that's kind of disappointing. But other than that, that was actually a really cute book. So I'm looking forward to reading her next book in the series because there's going to be more. So those are books that I'm actually looking forward to. Yeah, and then another Latina author is Mia Sosa. She's coming out with The Worst Best Men. And I read it last year and it was really good. So The Worst Best Men is a jilted fiancé. So she was going to get married. And then the fiancé's brother comes and tells her the news that the fiancé left her at the altar. He's like, sorry. He's like, so fast forward a few years later and they end up working together, the brother of the fiance and her, and they hate each other because of what happened. So it's enemies to lovers, and they have Brazilian family. So a lot of Brazilian culture is presented in the Maryland area. So there's Brazilian food, capoeira, like things you think about Brazil. They're really introduced in the book. So it felt very whole. But there's just one bed trope. If you like those, it's like this one has it. So it's just kind of like fun. That one was steamy. So if you're looking for open door romance, The Worst Best Man is open door romance. Island Affair is closed door romance. So those are some of the books that I read. They're Latina romance authors that I love.
And I was going to say, with The Worst Best Man, that's getting so much buzz right now, that enemies to lovers romantic comedy. I feel like that's going to be up so many people's alley for, a good spring read, like segueing into the summer. And so that's definitely on my list too. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a really good one. It's just good enemies to lovers. And they're just like, they like each other.
You can never go wrong.
You can never go wrong. And it's like, it's a five-star read. I've been raving about it. I was pleasantly surprised when Avon sent me a finished copy, and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel special. Because I've been
writing awesome.
For months. Like, it was like, I love this book. Like, even when I did not have a finished copy, I posted it on my Instagram. I was like, I don't post that much, that often. I was like, I really love this book. So those are books that I'm like, if you're looking for own voices, romance, there are out there, traditionally published as well as indie published, but traditional published are out there. You just have to seek them out. But there's a few coming out this year that you should try to check them out.
Absolutely. I love that. Totally writing it down too. I'm like, as we're talking, I'm writing at the same time. It's great.
I love it. So what books are on your TBR?
Oh, that TBR, my friend. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. But currently right now, I just started Dear Edward by Anne Napolitano. So that's been on my list for a while. You and I were talking about some backlist. I still have not read You by Caroline Kepnes because that Netflix series looked so amazing and I don't want to start it until I finish the book. Also, another backlist for me, Verity by Colleen Hoover. Again, got such great reviews, and it's one that's been on my list. And then I loved Rebecca Searle's The Dinner List, which came out a couple of years ago, and her book In 5 Years. So those, three with the one that I'm currently reading, definitely on the top of my TBR at the moment. And what about you?
So I got She Said. I just bought it yesterday because it was on sale. It's a nonfiction about the Me Too movement. So I had that book, and I have a few arcs that I'm looking forward to reading. But basically, The Love Scam, which comes out this summer, somehow like mistaken identity, Venice. So it's so cute. So I think I want to read that. And then just basically Beach Read, which is about two authors. One romance and one literature who decide to write each other's genre. So I love love books about reading about like authors writing a book. I don't know. There's something meta about that. So, and even more meta is like, a literature is going to write romance. Like, I'm curious to see how that's going to work. And then seeing the other way around, like, romance writing literature and literature's like, there's no happily after. So you can leave the bunny at the end. And so that seems like a fun book to read. And Undercover Romance. Have you read the Romance Book Club?
No, and that I have it. That's on my list too of books to read. And did you read that one? Did you love it?
I loved it. It was really good.
Okay.
If you like Marriage in Crisis and like, bromance, like good male friendships, that's a really good book about it.
Awesome.
So I do have Undercover Romance. Her is really good. So the Romance Book Club, they follow historical romance and the book that they read. Because the Romance Book Club, it is a group of men who read romance novels to help with the relationships. So,
oh, I love that.
So they're reading historical romance, and the historical romance helps the relationship, like helps the hero be like, oh, flashback, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to go. So that's kind of like fun. So in Undercover Romance, they're reading romantic suspense. So I'm curious to hear how they go about. They do touch upon Me Too. They touch upon current events. So it feels fresh and it feels good. So
I love that.
Yeah. So if you haven't read Romance Book Club, try it. It's really good. It's definitely, I like out of the merch in Crisis is one of my favorite books to read.
Lori, you're just adding to my TBR. You're making it worse.
I know. That's like the thing about this podcast, because I hear all these books and I'm like, I'm adding to the TV. I'm like, when am I going to read them all?
You know what? This is all good things to look forward to, because we're both in the midst of some life changes. So, you know, we're going to be escaping into our reading this spring to keep us sane. How about that? That work is our excuse.
That is true. Yeah, I'll be reading escaping. I'll be reading at like my new subway, or you know, on the flight. I'll be reading
pretty exactly.
Long. You know, like yeah. So
I love it.
Reading is fun. So where can we find you online?
So I am the Salty Bookworm on Instagram. You can find me. That's my personal book Instagram page. And also, you can also find me on Garden State Book Swap on Instagram as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Kay, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is so great. I love talking books with you.
I love it. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review. This is the best way to support this show. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back in a few days with a brand new episode. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.